Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
In the offseason, there's, well, a lot of time off. But Jesse Agler's excited to talk more Padres baseball because the season's just around the corner.
I like this. We could do more of this.
Mike Grace is also all jacked up for our last show before we head out to Peoria next week.
Ready to roll. Ready to talk about Padres baseball.
The crazy offseason is finally coming to a close, and we're getting ready for the revamp. 2015 Padres. And now it's time for Padres Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park. Here's your hosts, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour. It is Monday, February 9th. It is 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Petco Park. Hashtag left field construction. This is a live broadcast from the Social Lounge. In the team store in the bottom floor, the Western Metal Supply Company building, Mike Grace is here, and we've got a lot to talk about. Now, full disclosure, this show was originally going to air tonight at 8:30, and we had taped the entire show a couple of days ago. But things happen, and things change, and so we said, you know what, let's try and go live. Big thanks to Jeff and Kim and Trevor over at Fox Sports San Diego for getting us on the air here this afternoon, because there's too much to talk about to just throw up some taped show. We're going to have a lot to get to, okay? We're going to talk about James Shields. We're going to talk about Yoan Moncada. We're going to learn about Yoan Moncada. Ben Badler of Baseball America is going to join in to give us a little bit of a scouting report on him. And we're also going to talk Padres with a couple of guys that know a lot about this team. Uncle Ted, Ted Leitner.
The best.
And also Matt Vasgersian.
Oh.
One of the best as well. So both of those guys are going to swing by a little bit later. Ted will be in studio. Matty V on the telephone. But the reports are out there. James Shields is about to become a Padre. It's all pending physical. We know that whole deal. This is obviously another big, big, big move this offseason.
It's a mind blower, really. I mean, I don't know how prophetic you realize I am. The last time I was on this show, we talked about the free agents still out there. I said, oh, there's no way that the Padres are going to sign a guy like Scherzer or Shields. It's just not in the realm of possibility. Well, what happened? We went out and signed him. The price came down a little bit in the market, and now he's a Padre. And you're looking at this rotation, and it really can match up with any rotation in the National League. And you've got some pretty big lottery tickets in that five spot that if they panned out, who knows what could happen.
It is really, really wild. As for the details, reportedly a four-year, $75 million contract with an option for a fifth. And again, pending physical, no official word from the team yet on James Shields. This is a guy, if you know, maybe you're just a hardcore National League fan, you don't know too much about James Shields outside of what you saw in the World Series last year. I think if you're going to pick one word to describe him, it's durable. The guy is just, it's so many innings year after year. It's complete games. It's that kind of thing. He's just a bulldog out on the mound.
Yeah, no, he's a horse, man. He is just, he chews up innings. And one, he just got tons and tons of playoff experience on top of what he already went through with the Rays back a few years back. He's going to take pressure off some of these younger guys that feel like they're going to have to go out there and maybe stop a losing streak. You know, we always talk about an ace. What is an ace? I don't know. But this guy, you know, he's going to go out there every single fifth day, give you 7-8 innings easily. And I always love guys that have spent a ton of time in the American League and come to the National League. And especially coming to a pitcher's park like this. I mean, this guy spent a ton of time in the AL East. That's not a fun place to pitch.
No, it really isn't. And, yeah, he's a Rancho Santa Fe resident, so he gets to sleep in his own bed every night. That certainly helps when you're doing the negotiating with his agent and all that. But if anybody out there is saying, well, that's the only reason he's – you're crazy, man. A.J.
No.
Preller had to work really hard on this thing, as any GM does, I guess, when all of that kind of thing goes on. All right, so, I mean, your rotation in no particular order, right? You've got Ross, you've got Cashner, you've got Shields, you've got Kennedy. That's as good of a one through four, I think, as you're going to find in baseball. And you got some really electric stuff in there. And so then that fifth spot, is it Morrow? Is it Despaigne? Is it Erlin? You don't have any lefties. Is it Josh Johnson, if and when he's ready? There's no answer to that question yet. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a week before spring training even starts. The games don't begin until the beginning of March. It's a free-for-all grab for that fifth spot in the rotation, and I love that because it's an opportunity for those guys to kind of battle it out and see who comes out on top.
It's really an ideal situation for spring training. You feel like you've got most of your position players set. Your outfield's relatively set. You've got a couple little things going on in the infield to figure out, so you've got a couple battles there. Pretty much the majority of your rotation is set except for that fifth spot. So that's another really fun thing to watch at spring training. So it's nice to have a team you feel really good about, but a couple of fun position battles to watch. That's what makes spring training so exciting.
Yeah. By the way, very interactive show when we're live. We try and do this during the season. And if you're new to the show, by the way, April 6th, opening day, that'll be the start of our everyday shows, live every day before the games, the entire season. And those shows are all live. But we're chatting at Padres.com/chat. So you can kind of hop in there and participate that way. And R. Davis 13 wanted to know if Despaigne is the automatic odd man out with that fifth spot. I don't think so at all, man. Like we just said, I think it's that total free-for-all situation.
I think he's the easy guy to plug in. I think the other guys could come out and give you a little more than what you would normally expect from a fifth starter. He's exciting in that he's very durable as well. He could swing between the bullpen and the rotation. He's really kind of an ideal fifth starter with the different angles and the different pitches that he throws. And we saw what he did with a few days extra rest here and there. So, like we said, spring training is going to be really fun. I think that guy's right there in the mix. I don't think anybody's an odd man out at this point. I think it really is an open competition.
No, I agree. Maybe the best part of the James Shields thing to me, aside from the obvious and aside from the credibility that brings along with him or that he brings along with him, is just it shows once again A.J. Preller like not done, not sitting back, not resting on his laurels, not just being like, yeah, this was good enough. This guy is still working, and we'll get to Yoan Moncada in a moment. But, it got a little bit quiet for the last few weeks, but clearly Preller was continuing to move things.
I think he really knew. We saw this, I think, with Yasmani Tomas. He set a price for what he felt each player could contribute at, and he had a price for James Shields, and I think you saw that over the last couple days. Many media outlets saying that the Padres were the favorites to land Shields. He's probably going to find out if there's a little better deal. You got to think A.J. Preller held steady on what he thought that price point was for the Padres. He got it, and now you're looking at a really fantastic rotation.
Biggest free agent deal in Padres history, and not by a little bit. The PV contract, a few years ago after the Cy Young, that wasn't a free agent deal, but this is even more than that. It's another sign, and I know everybody has said and written this, it's another sign. It really is a new era for the San Diego Padres. This is not the start of something brand new, but it's a big part of this brand new era.
Absolutely. You've never seen this before. I mean, we've seen a few names being out there, but you've never actually been able to land them, to land a guy like this at what he was. I mean, I think this guy got hurt because of what he's good at. He's pitched so many innings over his career, which has been 9 years or so. It actually hurt him to the Padres' benefit. But this guy, that's what he does. He's going to go out there, give you a ton of innings, take the ball every fifth day, and apparently a really great teammate. That's everything you hear about him. His teammates just love him.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll talk more about James Shields. We'll talk more about what he means to the Padres' rotation and to the ball club as a whole, projections and all that kind of thing. But there's another big name out there in free agency who popped up today. Yoan Moncada, the 19-year-old Cuban phenom, who everybody says is maybe the best guy to ever come out of Cuba. Now, he's just 19, so obviously developmentally you got to wait and see what happens a little bit. But he's a guy that everybody's really excited about. He's maybe a second baseman, maybe a shortstop, maybe a third baseman. Who knows? Maybe he's even a center fielder. We'll find out a lot more about Yoan Moncada with Ben Badler of Baseball America coming up next segment. But Jeff Passan of Yahoo tweeted today, and I'm quoting here, "The Padres are taking over the world." So sources say San Diego is working out Yoan Moncada today and plans to be aggressive in bidding for him. That's Jeff Passan of Yahoo earlier today. Obviously, he's having some fun with the fact that the Padres are as active as they are. But here you go, Yoan Moncada. We'll learn more about him in a few minutes with Ben Badler. But they're in on him, it would appear, even after handing out this big contract, reportedly, to James Shields.
I don't think anything could surprise me at this point. I mean, the trades that happened in December and now signing a guy like James Shields, if A.J. Preller can sell ownership on this is the way to go, and they're going to make it happen. This one, there's going to be so many teams on him. That's going to be the challenge. You've got so many of the big markets trying to get this guy because he is so young. It appears relatively close and ready to be a big league contributor. And if a guy like that can play shortstop, I mean, he can write his own check.
Yeah, I mean, that's maybe the toughest of all the positions to fill on the field. Everybody's always talking about trying to find a franchise shortstop. Not an easy thing to do. And if he can pull it off there, boy, he's going to be around for a long, long time. Look, it's going to be a bidding war for Moncada. It's going to be a big money kind of thing. He's going to end up getting a decent amount of money for himself. you've read anything from $30 to $40 million, mm-hmm. and then because of the whole system with the international players and everything, you're talking fees, maybe penalties, taxes, all that kind of thing on top of it. It's going to be a lot of money that a team has to give up in order to sign Yoán Moncada. But from everything we understand, he is worth it, and we'll find out more about Yoán Moncada, the baseball player, coming up next. Ben Badler of Baseball America is going to join us. Remember, you can join the conversation on Twitter. You can use the hashtag PadresSH. We'll kind of check in with the Twitter folks a bunch of times throughout the show, and we are chatting live at Padres.com/chat, Padres.com/chat. Ben Badler coming up. Time now, though, Mike Grace, for the picture of the day. It's presented by Sony. This picture was taken on the new RX10 Sony camera. Visit the Sony store at Fashion Valley to check out their cameras today. That is a look today in the Padres clubhouse. Oh, boy, everything's getting packed up. The trucks leave Friday for Peoria, Arizona, the first workout for pitchers and catchers. Mike Grace, 10 days from today. We're almost there.
I cannot wait.
Me neither. We'll take a break. Come back. We're going to talk to Ben Badler of Baseball America. Find out a little bit more about Yoán Moncada, the baseball player.
Welcome back to your ultimate guide to the Padres offseason. This is Padres Social Hour, the offseason special from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Welcome back to the show. We are live on this Monday afternoon from Petco Park. Supercross is done. Monster Jam is done. And already the field starting to move towards baseball mode. They got that left field construction project that's going to get underway. And, of course, they got to put in some grass and clay and that kind of thing as well. With Mike Grace, I'm Jesse Agler. A lot of talk about James Shields. He's reportedly signed a free agent contract with the Padres. It is reportedly pending physical. But another thing to get excited about in a very exciting off season. And you want to add another name to that list of guys to be interested in. How about the Cuban import, Yoán Moncada? Is he an infielder? Is he an outfielder? We do know he's 19 years old, and we do know he is immensely talented. But we wanted to find out a little bit more about him. And one of the guys that's done an outstanding job covering the international market, Cuba in particular, is Ben Badler of Baseball America. He called in a couple of days ago, and I said, all right, Ben, why don't you give us your basic scouting report on Yoán Moncada?
This guy was, for his age, he was the best player in Cuba, and he's probably one of the best young talent who's ever left Cuba. You look at what he did in the junior leagues in Cuba. He just completely dominated there, really on par with what Yasiel Puig and Jorge Soler did in those leagues at the time. He played at different junior international tournaments. He was always the best player on the Cuban team there. And scouts have followed this guy since he was 15 years old, and they've always been really excited about him. Because there's, if you want to, if you want to break him down and evaluate him, there's really not much to like. This is a guy who's hit everywhere he's gone. He's a switch hitter who's a better hitter from the left side, where it's a really short, quick, compact swing, outstanding bat speed, plus power, and a pretty good hitting approach too. Now we haven't seen him doing it against more advanced pitching, so there's some uncertainty there. But there's nothing that you see in the swing or in the approach, or certainly not in the power either, to suggest that he's not going to be able to hit better pitching once he does face more advanced competition in the United States. And then you look at the speed. He's at least a plus runner. He's got an above-average arm. He's played some shortstop in the past, mostly second base and some third base. Probably fits best at either second or third base, but he has the speed to even put him in center field if you want. There's a lot of versatility there. If you want to pick him apart, I think you're really nitpicking, because pretty much everything this guy does across the board is above average.
Ben Badler of Baseball America is with us on the Cholula Hotline. You wrote last week pretty much a top 20 prospect at worst, right? Kind of right off the bat as soon as he gets settled into a system.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you put this guy in the draft, I think he'd be the number one overall pick. That's the kind of talent that you're talking about here. And yeah, the level of impact tools that he has, I think he's a top 20 prospect right away. He might even be a top 10 prospect, but it's hard to get too carried away with a guy who hasn't done it against minor league pitching, the way some of the other guys who would be ahead of him on the list have already done it and have that star upside that he has as well.
Talking to Ben Badler about Yoán Moncada, like a lot of Cuban players who have had to make that journey off the island and to eventually the major leagues,
pretty wild story so far, and obviously it's not even completely written yet. Maybe for those who don't know, kind of the condensed version of what he's been through already, just as a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah, it sounds like his story has been a little bit unusual, because reportedly he has, you know, he left the island through legal immigration and supposedly has a Cuban passport, which is a pretty unusual situation. You know, a lot of people aren't quite sure what to make of that, but you know, he's out of Cuba now, and it sounds like he's on the on the verge of getting his career started.
Pretty crazy situation. We talk about the process of signing an international player now. We've heard Rob Manfred in recent weeks talk about an international draft at some point. Does that feel like an inevitability to you, or are there still a lot of hurdles there, you think?
I think that that's certainly something that the commissioner's office wants to implement. To hear Rob Manfred say that, I think there was some question about how the new commissioner was going to approach that, but it certainly sounds like he wants it just as much as Bud Selig wanted it before him. But on the other hand, they've wanted this international draft for a lot of years now, and they haven't been able to implement it. There's a lot of legal and logistical hurdles involved. You know, which countries are involved in the draft? Is it going to be one draft or two drafts? What do you do with Mexico, for example, where if you're signing a Mexican player, you're essentially signing him directly from a Mexican league team. You know, are you going to be able to go in and draft Mexican players who are already on rosters for professional clubs? And what do you do about the leagues in Korea and Japan that also have professional leagues? So I think there's a lot of different questions. Obviously, Cuba is at some point, if the embargo is dropped and it's more it's easier for teams to be able to sign Cuban players, what you do with them is a completely that's a whole other animal to have to deal with. So I think from a legal perspective and just in terms of the logistics of organizing the draft and setting it up, there's a lot of questions that they're going to have to wrap their rules and wrap their minds around. I think it's going to be very difficult to implement it, but if they truly are adamant about implementing this international draft, then I think it's something that certainly could happen within the next few years and in the next CBA.
It seems to fall into that category, as so many things do. It's easier said than done, a potential international draft for Major League Baseball. Ben Badler of Baseball America is on Twitter, @BenBadler, is doing an outstanding job, not only covering Cuba, but everything else going on in the world of baseball. Ben, really appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, good stuff. That's Ben Badler on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula Hot Sauce, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the green pepper sauce flavor today. Very interesting stuff.
I'd say so. That was Ben Badler a couple of days ago, Mike Grace. If you heard maybe one thing he said there, how about this? If he was in this past year's draft, probably the number one overall pick, Yoan Moncada.
Wow, and to be able to drop that guy into your organization right away, especially for a team that's traded a lot of their farm system, the higher end of it, that would really strengthen a farm system if the Padres were able to pull that off.
Cost a lot of money, as we said, but a really interesting guy. I can't imagine a scenario in which he starts the 2015 season in the big leagues. Just doesn't sound right. And you don't need to rush a guy like that.
Sure.
If you're signing somebody who's 19 years old, it's obviously a long-term investment. You throw him out there at spring training, you kind of see how he adjusts. Remember, too, he's got to adjust to life in this country. It's not just adjusting to a level of baseball. Maybe you start him off at Double A. If things go exceptional for him during spring training, maybe you do start him off with the Chihuahuas at Triple A. But either way, I think you go patient with him one step at a time. They'll still got to sign the guy. But for people thinking maybe he would be your opening day shortstop or something like that, I wouldn't expect that to be the case, even if the Padres do sign him.
I agree with you. I think Yasiel Puig was kind of the nice model. Everybody thought he was ready, but hey, send him down to Double A, let him go down there. Did really well. Triple A did really well. Came up, I think, around June and gave that team a real shot in the arm when they needed it. So that's a pretty good process. Like you said, this guy's even younger, so it's quite a transition going from Cuba to America and just the entire lifestyle, like you mentioned.
All right, another name to keep a close eye on, Yoan Moncada out of Cuba. According to Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports, he is working out for the Padres today, and the club plans to, quote, be aggressive in bidding for him. AJ Preller, it's funny, he's gotten the trades done now.
Yep.
He's gotten a free agent signing done now.
All that's left, really, right, besides a draft, and he can't do that yet, is an international signing, and that was supposed to be his forte. So who knows?
And that's the thing. You know, you trust this guy to really see if he likes what he sees. He'll know the investment is worth it.
Pretty crazy. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to some questions that are coming in online on Twitter using the hashtag PadresSH, also in the live chat that's taking place right now at Padres.com/chat. Some talk in there about outfield defense. That's obviously a hot topic as we get ready to start spring training coming up. Also, in a little bit, we'll hear from Matt Vasgersian and Ted Leitner what they are thinking about this Padres offseason. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you again, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. So big thanks to Petco. We'll take a break. And when we come back, some of your questions, some more talk about everything going off in Padres land. And then Matt Vasgersian and Ted Leitner on Padres Social Hour.
We're back with more of Padres Social Hour, and the Padres are set to report to spring training soon. Get ready for the season right here with Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. Jesse Agler with Mike Grace. Thanks for spending some of your Monday afternoon with us. We are chatting live at Padres.com/chat, and of course on Twitter, as always, using that hashtag PadresSH. Let's get to some of these fan questions. We'll talk more about James Shields as time goes on here. Also, Matt Vasgersian and Ted Leitner coming up. Gracie, a lot of people saying, all right, we discussed the fifth starter, and you got a bunch of guys vying for that one spot. They want to know about the bullpen because you got some new arms in there as well. It's been suggested there could be a surplus of pitching, and not necessarily in the starting rotation, but at least in the bullpen, and then therefore AJ could be looking to make another move. What do you think?
I think that's entirely possible, not only on what you would expect to be in the big league roster right now, but also what's on the 40-man. A guy like Lionel Campos, who has a ton of potential, has shown some starting ability. There's almost no way he can make the big league roster in the bullpen at this point. You do have to figure out some of the guys that are in the swing spots right now. Brandon Morrow, who if I had to place a bet, would probably be the fifth starter. It was interesting hearing Ian Kennedy talk about that yesterday on our Padres Caravan spot. He really kind of brought his name up as a guy that could really make a difference. You know, Brandon Maurer, who maybe is going to be a starter down the line, but last year had a lot of success at the back end of a bullpen. So I think there's going to be some really interesting defined roles, and you probably do have a few pieces to move.
There will be a tendency for somebody to say, hey, it's a good problem to have, having all these guys. Buddy Black, I heard him say it a lot last year when asked about excesses or so-called surpluses at certain places. He goes, it's not a problem. And I think that's probably the attitude this team is going to take this year. Again, it's easy to say, oh, it's a good problem to have. He says it's not even a problem. You mentioned the caravan, by the way. Huge thanks to everybody who came out all weekend long, a bunch of different events. I was lucky enough to be at a few. Grace, I know you were at a bunch as well. It was awesome kind of interacting with fans all weekend in all different places around the San Diego area. So thanks to everybody who came out. Hope you enjoyed it. That was really, really cool, and I know something people are going to be looking forward to in years ahead. Outfield defense. That's another one that's coming up here at Padres.com/chat a little bit. Will Myers has, I think, played two games in center field at the big league level. Now, he's a center fielder for a lot of years coming up. He's got some experience as a center fielder, but not at this level. And there was sort of an indication from someone in the chat, and I forget who it was. I apologize. I think R. Davis 13. And he says, hey, if he can cover the ground out there in center field, that's going to make a big difference because there are a lot of people sort of questioning the defense in this outfield. But if Will Myers adjusts to playing center field here at Petco Park and can do so well, it's going to change a lot of things.
It really does. And I look at Will as a really strong athlete, and you give that guy a full spring training of center field reps, seeing the ball off the bat. You've got a great mentor in Dave Roberts who's really does a really great job working with outfielders. If he can play a solid center field, what that does for his bat, it really changes the dynamics of the lineup because sometimes you have to give up some offense for a good defensive center fielder. If he can hold up center field at an average rate, it could really change things. And Matt Kemp's even talked about he really didn't feel comfortable last year in left field. He felt much more comfortable in right field. Well, he's going to get to play right field full time. He's going to probably bring his defense up. I think you feel good about Justin Upton in left. And I think, obviously, it is what's going to happen. See what happens. See what happens in spring training. But you've got three athletes out there. I'll take my chances with athletes getting some reps.
All right. Sounds good to me. I like the way you put that right there. I want to go back to James Shields. If you're a really hardcore baseball fan, you know all about these projections, and there's a couple different ones out there, and you can find them on FanGraphs, you know, Baseball Prospectus, wherever. And it was a really good FanGraphs story today, and it was just kind of writing about, you know, by their projections, the Padres are still sort of a borderline playoff team, even after signing James Shields. But I thought, you know, he brought up a really good point in sort of countering himself, which is that in today's day and age, and Grace, you and I have talked about this in the office 100 times in the last few months, it's not about building the 27 Yankees. Nope. With 2 wild cards in each league and the number of teams that get into the playoffs, the goal should be to get in the tournament. And if you're like a hardcore old-school baseball fan, and maybe you grew up in the pre-championship series era, you know, 1969, that was the first year there was an NLCS and an ALCS, which obviously is a long time ago now, but, you know, the wild cards in 95, the extra wild card in the last couple of years. Like, it's not the same as it used to be. You used to have to build this perfect team, and now with these one-game wild card rounds, with these best-of-5 division series, even with the best-of-7 championship series, that's still a small sample and a short series. To me, it's about getting in the tournament. And in writing this today, he goes, hey, in 2012, Tigers got to the World Series with 88 regular season wins. 2011, the Cardinals win it all after winning just 90 regular season games. Last year, both World Series competitors, the Giants and the Royals, were wild cards. So you just got to get in the tournament. And so if you're projecting, oh, it's only 87 wins, hey, man, get in the playoffs, and then let's see what happens.
And to bring it back to James Shields, you look at what the Royals did last year. I mean, that's a perfect example. You look at that team, and there's nothing that really stands out about it except for the bullpen. Now, they basically went through the playoffs just utilizing that great bullpen. The Padres had a fantastic bullpen last year, and they've only made it better. So, like you said, get into the tournament. Baseball is the most random sport once you get into those small sample sizes. You know, 1 game, 5 games, 7 games, like you said, compared to a 162-game season, the best team might not win a majority of the time. It's just the way baseball goes. You get a couple hot pitchers, that can change everything. So just get into the tournament should always be the mantra.
That is the deal. Just get into the tournament. Take your chances with whatever happens. This might be overly simplistic, and I haven't thought it out a bunch, but I'll say, what do you think about this? The general manager's job is to get the team into the playoffs. And after that, how much can he do? Does that make sense, or am I
absolutely
oversimplifying?
Absolutely. And you know who gets the short end of that stick is Billy Bean. He gets his team into the tournament, and it's just never worked out. Now, Padres fans don't want to hear that. Of course, you want to win the World Series, but to do what that guy's done, just to get his team in the tournament, and in many cases, be the better team. Now, they've never made it all the way since he's been there, but that is the general manager's job, because there's only so many things you can do. You can look for that sixth-inning bullpen guy, but baseball is just so absolutely random, you don't know how he's going to perform in whatever situation it's going to be. I mean, you can, if you're in basketball, you can plan to play the Heat because you know who you're going to have guard what players, but you never know what batters a specific pitcher is going to face. So that's the beauty of baseball, really.
Beauty is exactly it.
It's lovely.
Devin on Twitter wants to know if we're concerned about the depth at catcher.
Not really, actually.
No, I'm not at all.
In the lower minors, maybe, but at the major league level, you've got an all-star in Norris. Fedorovich, good backup catcher. He has actually some pretty good minor league numbers behind the at the plate. And then you've got the number one defensive catcher waiting in the wings if something happens in the minor leagues in Austin Hedges. I mean, he's probably not ready offensively, but you've got offense on this team. If you need a defensive catcher, that's your guy.
Yeah.
So I think we're there at the high levels. Now, we probably need to replenish the lower levels, but I think we're okay for now.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there's a lot of reasons to be excited. There are definitely legitimate concerns out there. You know, catcher's not one for me. No. And it'll be interesting to kind of track Austin Hedges', you know, progression from an offensive standpoint. We're going to see him during spring training, you know, you would imagine at times against big league pitching, you know, see how that goes. And then tracking him early on during the season down at the minors. Because if he gets the bat going, well, then a lot of things, you know, can change, and I would think pretty quickly.
I'd love to see him in El Paso. Get the guy in a hitter's park. Let him get some confidence. I think so much of hitting is confidence. The Texas League is a tough hitter's park, so let him go to El Paso, get some hits there, and might progress him a little quicker.
Let him be a chihuahua.
Absolutely. Who doesn't want to be a chihuahua?
Hey, man, they're doing a great job out there in El Paso. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with an old friend, Matty V. Matt Vaskirjan going to call in and talk about the Padres offseason. Meanwhile, you may have heard single-game tickets for the 2015 season are now on sale. You can get your tickets today for the season's most in-demand games, including the opening series against San Fran and other National League West rivals. To purchase tickets, go to Padres.com or call 619- 615-595-5555, Padres.com, or 619-795-5555. Take a break when we come back here from Matty V. Also, Ted Leitner coming up just a little bit on Padres Social Hour.
Spring training is just around the corner. And right now, we're back with the only program that has the 2015 Padres covered. It's Padres Social Hour from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Welcome back to the show with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Ted Leitner in a few minutes. First, though, we'll catch up with a former Padre broadcaster, Matt Vaskers. And he was nice enough to call in last week. So pre-reports of James Shields signing with the Padres. And I asked Matty V how he's enjoying this Padres offseason so far.
Certainly for folks in San Diego, I mean, I couldn't imagine an offseason filled with more optimism than this one. It just has been... phenomenal what the front office has been able to do. And I mean, I don't know AJ Preller. I met him for the first time at the winter meetings, but I would like to buy him lunch or something, because he's been amazing. What he's been able to accomplish in a short period of time there makes every other general manager kind of scratch his head and look dumb doing it. It's been great.
Do you have a favorite move, or a move you think was the biggest move in this offseason for the Padres?
You know, the one that surprised me the most was Derek Norris, just because it shouldn't have surprised me from the Oakland end. I mean, they're in sell mode. But that was one we didn't smell coming. The Kemp thing was the biggest and probably the most exciting. He was the best offensive player in the National League after the All-Star break last year, maybe in all of baseball. He's the kind of dynamic player that the Pods just haven't had their hands on in quite some time. And I think, without disrespecting the return compensation package, I thought the asking price was reasonable, if not low. And I think AJ took advantage of the Dodgers' desire to unearth themselves of what they considered a burdensome contract. Maybe other things were involved there. But, gosh, the Pods couldn't be happier to have him. And I, as a fan, think it's a great move.
I want to hook onto the non-baseball part of this a little bit. You were just talking about, you know, the star power and what it brings to San Diego. You obviously know this place as well as anybody. What do you think it means to the fan base here to kind of have a name like Matt Kemp to hook onto?
You know, it means something that hasn't happened very often in franchise history, and that is to have a guy that's kind of a national star wearing a Padres uniform. And you could go back to different vintages of Padres baseball when those guys were there for a very short time. Robbie Alomar, Joe Carter, Ed Al from one vintage, Gary Sheffield from another. Tony Gwynn was the only guy that was consistently there his whole career, Tony and Trevor. But Trevor being a relief pitcher, it's not the same as having a position player that's a super-duper star that's in the lineup every day. So here is that guy, and it's now. And it's not just him. He's got a supporting cast. If this was the only deal that the Padres had made, it would have been nice. It would have been great. But they made other deals that could make San Diego a real competitor, not just within the West, but maybe even playing deep into the fall, which is something that I'm hoping for myself.
All right, let's piggyback on that. I've been asking this question to everybody, and it's a completely unfair question because of where we are on the calendar. Well, what do you think the fair expectations are for fans for this team right now?
No, it is a good question, even this time of year. And I know I was really surprised at the Baseball Prospectus, the PECOTA rankings number, and those come out at the end of January every year. And it's a bunch of math that those guys put into a computer, and it spits out a wins prediction. Sometimes they're spot on, as they were with the A's last year. They had it down to the win. Sometimes they whiff, like they did last year with teams like Baltimore and Texas. And they had the Padres, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Jesse, I think they had them at 84 or 86 wins. I thought that they did more to make themselves a better team than that. And maybe the win number is low based on the difficulty within the division, because the Giants and Dodgers, we have every reason to believe, will be good again this year. And when you have to play those teams 18 times a season each, that can take your expected win total down. But I don't think it's unreasonable to call the Padres closer to a 90-win team. I really don't. The West is tough, but then again, you have easier competition within the West in the Rockies, and even though the Diamondbacks are improved, I don't think they're in the Padres, Dodgers, and Giants class just yet.
Divisional play, of course, is always a little bit goofy. You play so many times, the trends don't always stick, I guess. For lack of a better term. We're visiting with Matt Vaskersian. All-Star Game, Petco Park 2016. We're very excited about that here. Kind of seems like a long time coming, huh?
Yeah, it sure does. I remember being at the 92 game at Qualcomm Stadium. I think it was still Jack Murphy then in 92. I was working for what at the time was the Padres Class A team in Adelanto, California, the High Desert Mavericks, and our front office took the schlep to San Diego to see the parent team host the All-Star game. And it's hard to believe that there hadn't been one since. High time indeed, and it's time for San Diego to kind of flex its muscles. I think the winter meetings being in San Diego this year was kind of a, like a mini course in how great San Diego is within the baseball community. And so many of my colleagues at MLB Network and a lot of people around the baseball map that had traveled to San Diego for the first time were just blown away by it. It's something we all know to be true in San Diego. But when you can show off that way for the national stage with the convention center right across the street from Petco, the house, the Fan Fest, it's just going to be an awesome week for San Diego and for baseball in 2016.
We've heard a lot of people say similar things. Matt Vasgersian can be seen on Hot Stove weekday 6 a.m. MLB Network with Harold Reynolds. Find MLBnetwork.com for your local listings. I was watching a couple of weeks ago. You had Mudd on, your dear friend Mark Grant, and I mean it was just sensational television. The two of you together is, as everybody here knows, a recipe for something awesome. Good Mark Grant story maybe to send us off with. You know, we've heard a lot of them, but anything you'd like to say to Mudd, you know, if he's watching here in San Diego?
Yeah, you know, sensational actually is a very subjective thing. I appreciate that, Jesse. A lot of people call it abysmal. A lot of people call it train wreck television. You have a tendency when you're with Mark just to forget you're on TV, and that leads you down regrettable paths occasionally. But, you know, this is the thing with Mark Grant. He never thumped his chest about what a big-time prospect he was. And he was a first-round draft choice in a season where there were a lot of big-time players that were taken later than him. He never talks about that. He had a major league career. Injuries kind of derailed it. But more than that, he's one of the funniest guys, and he spent enough time around the city. He's a funny guy. We were in San Francisco probably 8 to 10 years ago now, and after a game, a guy by the name of Jeff Richards, who's a stand-up comedian, who's very funny. He used to be on Saturday Night Live. He's a drunk girl. That was his big character on Weekend Update. We were at a karaoke night, and Jeff Richards got up there and did a little shtick, and it was pretty funny. And Mudd went up right after Jeff Richards. And I thought, gosh, that's bad placement there. You never want to be the guy that goes up after the professional comedian. And Mudd actually killed to the degree that he got a way better reaction than the professional comedian. That's how funny this guy is. And boy, San Diego should thank themselves or thank the Padres for keeping him around because he is he's one of the best. He's one of my faves.
Outstanding. Matt Vasgersian, MLB Network, Hot Stove during the offseason, weekday mornings, and, of course, you can see him at night all season long. Matt, really appreciate the time. Thanks for sharing your views on the 2015 Padres.
Good catching up, Jesse. Thanks.
Take it easy. Matt Vasgersian, a lot of fun.
Big thanks to Matty V for calling in. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from a current Padre broadcaster, the legend himself, Uncle Teddy. Ted Leitner right after this on Padre Social Hour.
Getting you ready for the 2015 Padres. We're back with Padre Social Hour.
The off-season special.
Discussing the off-season and everything else Padres. Coming to you from the Social Lounge at Petco Park.
Back with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. It's our last Padres Social Hour until we head out to Peoria, Arizona. Next show will be on February 23rd, and it will come to you from the Padres Spring Training Facility. We're all very excited.
Oh.
Very. It's James Shields, reportedly. It's Kemp. It's Upton. It's Myers. It's Upton. Everybody. Blah, 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 blah. We're all very excited. I don't know that there's anyone more excited than our next guest. Ted Leitner has seen a lot in his years. He stopped by last week, pre-Shields, and Uncle Teddy stopped by, and I asked him if he thinks there's a move that the Padres have made this offseason that is most impactful, both from a short-term view and a long-term view.
It's a good question. I don't know. And it doesn't matter. I think it's the kind of thing, what a great feeling, Jess,
yeah,
which we haven't had here, let's be honest, over many, many years of my many, many years, is that feeling of, you know what, if you don't make a move between now and spring training, I'm okay because they're okay. So the idea of, okay, well, determine who your leadoff guy is going to be and determine the number two guy and then see where, you know, Jed's going to hit. I don't know what Jed is. Is he a five, a six, what, a seven? I don't know. But those are details, little details. Don't sweat the details. The idea that you can live with this team without making another move or another addition, That's a rare, rare bird in Padre history, and it's a sweet deal. And the idea that AJ and the ownership has done this, if you had told me, and if we had talked about this and said, I can get you Upton, I can get you Kemp, whatever, and I will not have to give up the top three or four prospects, and I will not give up Cash or Tyson Ross or Kennedy, you would say we were nuts.
Insane.
You can't do that.
No, not possible.
And they did that.
He did. It was an incredible thing to watch happen. It was kind of fun to watch the whole thing happen. So what are your expectations right now? Look, we haven't even gotten to Peoria yet, and all kinds of things can happen in spring training, positive and negative. And who knows, maybe they're not done making moves. Maybe between the time you and I are talking early last week and now this airing today, they've already made another move or two. But, I mean, what are your expectations right now for this
game? My expectations, and I would hope Padre fans are the same, and it's the kind of thing Steve Fisher does this with San Diego State when they pick him number one in the preseason media poll, and he never ever poo-poos that. He never gives it that, well, you know, that's a little crazy. We're not that good, and we're not that. He said, hey, I love those expectations. I expect to follow through on those, and I expect the Padres to do the very same thing. If they're now looked upon as a playoff club, and I believe they are, in fact, looked upon and are a playoff club, I expect to be in the playoffs. I expect to be doing games in October for the first time since 06. And I don't think that's outrageous to say that. Richard Justice said the same thing at MLB.com, that the Padres have won the offseason. They have transformed their club, that they're now, quote, right there with the Dodgers and the Giants. Now, if you're right there with the Dodgers and Giants, I'm not saying you're going to win the National League West, but you've got a good chance to do that. And if you don't, there are two wild cards. And by God, the Padres should have one of them.
Yeah, you don't have to win the division.
No.
I mean, it's a lot easier to do so. You don't have to play that one-game elimination game, and we all know about one-game elimination games around here.
Right.
You don't have to win in
exactly.
the division.
And I understand, truly, as we all do, the Dodgers, it is limitless. I mean, even Mr. Walter has said when he was asked, is there a limit to the spending? And he said, well, you know, quite frankly, no. No. Now, the Padres don't have those revenues. They don't have an $8 billion television deal. Nobody else does. So understand that. If they need something, the Dodgers, come the deadline in July, they'll buy whatever they have to buy. That's hard to beat. But if you're healthier than them, and you're luckier than them, and it's your year and the ball bounces right, you can win a division.
Just get in the tournament.
Exactly right.
That's one of those things we say a lot. How much are you looking forward to spring training?
That's a bad question, because I always it's strange to me. I always love it. I've always loved it. And, you know, back from I started through the last year, we had always done every single game in play-by-play, which very few teams ever did. And so I was always going there. And post-television, my television days, I would always fly in on the weekends. But after being done with television sports, I've gone there and spent a month, and I just love it. The atmosphere is mind-boggling, and the fans think the same thing. Mm-hmm. They're close up. They get autographs and pictures and all that stuff. And with us, because we work every night during the season, to have mostly day games and the nights off and beautiful weather like Phoenix, I love it anyway. And to have these expectations we just spoke about, to go in there with that kind of a wow season, which I haven't had in my heart of hearts since 1998, in terms of knowing, wow, this team's going to be special. When they added Kevin Brown from Miami, I thought, this is it. This is it. We're going to win this thing. And it turned out that way. I have similar expectations and excitement now going into spring training.
I like that you're not shrinking from the expectations. The
no.
Steve Fisher story is a good one, and I feel like we'll be retelling that a lot this year.
Right. Why? Not people get excited, and so you might disappoint them. It happens in sports. Ask the Seattle Seahawks.
Sure.
It happens, disappointments. But if you're being picked and being told you're wonderful, there's not a reason in the world to be negative and say, well, I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't get all excited. No, I'd go that far. I'd get that excited.
I don't want to fast forward over 2015, but there's a pretty exciting 2016 thing going on, too, and that's the All-Star game coming to Petco Park, long time coming, right?
Yes, and it's just, I've been to the other two at the other place, and it was wonderful. And it's even more now, because it puts the city on this amazing pedestal. And back then it was big, but now with not just social media, but now with ESPN and everything else and the MLB network, everybody who is somebody in baseball, which we saw a microcosm of when they had the winter meetings here, but this is the winter meetings times 1,000, when everybody in the world is watching San Diego, California, and taking a look at this jewel of a ballpark that we love. It's you talk about a win-win, it's a win-win-win. It's great.
I didn't think I could get any more excited about the upcoming season, but visiting with Ted has made me just that. Great to see you. Thanks
good
for stopping by.
Good to see you, man. It's good to see you. And that question, by the way, I get all the time. In fact, when Matt Kemp was here at that news conference, and Mike D said to me, hey, this is like the 90s when we got Caminiti and Finley. And I literally said to Mike, no, this is beyond that. This is bigger than that, Padre fans. Because even then, Caminiti and Finley, they were not – great ball players at that time. They were nice ball players who became much better here. But these guys, when you got a Kemp and an Upton, they're way beyond Finley Caminiti. No disrespect. This is the greatest offseason in Padre history.
Very exciting. I'm all fired up. Ted Leitner, we'll be back. More Padres Social Hour coming up right after this.
The season's just around the corner.
Pitchers and catchers report in less than a month.
And we've got more Padres talk right after this on Padres Social Hour.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Padres Social Hour. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Our next show will be February 23rd from Peoria, Arizona. Thanks to Mike Grace. Thanks to Ben Badler. Thanks to Matty V. And thanks to Ted Leitner. Talk to you later.